Well, you'll get a free speed drive for even quicker dry times. That's a $100 value, plus 20% off any added services. So for the cleanest carpet you've ever seen, I know you're going to be amazed. We sure were. Call Dirt Free right now at 713-730-2782, or you can check them out online at dirtfreecarpet.com.
You remember to change your home or rental property AC filter every month? Can't find the right size? Or just tired of getting out the ladder each month? This is Jerry Wolf here to guarantee, that's right folks, guarantee that the patented EnviroMax filter will last one full year. And that's from a family-owned business with 28 years of air cleaning experience. If you want more than the once-a-year AC filters, then you can upgrade your present system with our UV light. The main purpose of the UV light is to kill mold and mildew that will grow on your AC coil. It also kills virus and bacteria. What does all this mean to you? You can actually have mountain fresh air indoors. No more of that old musty smell in the house, and no more embarrassment when you have company. You can fit it and forget it for one whole year. It will cost less than you're spending now, it's less hassle, and your AC system will operate more efficiently. Call 713-466-7555 now. Let's get one thing clear between us, the air you breathe. 713-466-7555. Or EnviroMaxFilter.com.
Imagine yourself in a brand new GMC Yukon. Hello, this is Ernie Guzman, president of Ernie Guzman Pontiac GMC. Come see our amazing selection of GMC Yukons, Sierra Crew Cabs, Pontiac Grand Prix, and even the Sporty Solstice. For sales, selection, and service, come to Ernie Guzman Pontiac GMC on the Katy Freeway. If you're looking for a specific new or pre-owned car, visit us online at ErnieGuzman.com. Come see us at Ernie Guzman Pontiac GMC on the Katy Freeway at the Derry Ashford exit, or visit us online at ErnieGuzman.com, where we'll exceed your expectations.
Throughout the world, Americans have marched forth into lands of strange faces and languages to protect our freedom. Billy West Tire Service and Westside Automotive and Tire Service suggest you display Old Glory Memorial Day. Billy West Tire Service and Westside Automotive, 13324 Hempstead Highway, specializes in OTR 18-wheeler tires and service. For tire repair and road service, contact Billy West Tire Service on Hempstead Highway. Phone 713-680-1055.
This program has been paid for all or in part by the host, and KSEV is not responsible for its content and or products or services offered.
Tonight's show, we'll be discussing alternative treatment methods and diagnostic methods for cardiovascular disease. And if you've got questions on the topic, feel free to call in. Our number here is 281-558-5738. Once again, that's 281-558-5738. And before we start into the night show, I'd kind of like to get into a couple of the news stories of the day. We have a big section on obesity. And there's just a few interesting stories that I'd just like to briefly mention and comment on. And Dr. Davis, I'd love your comments as well. Medicare came out today and said that they may broaden their obesity surgery payments for individuals wanting to undergo bariatric surgery. And I find that this is quite an interesting story, simply because in my opinion, what it does is it allows people to continue to not take responsibility for their actions, and then allow the government to basically bail them out performing a surgery that could completely have been prevented had the right educational tools been put in place earlier on in these individuals' lives. So, Dr. Davis, what do you think about that?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, that's pretty sad that they will pay for something like that, but they won't pay for the patient to be educated or preventive wellness or anything like that. I mean, I think that they're just letting it almost become an excuse. And I understand that surgery is very life-saving for some patients, but unfortunately, there's many more complications that they're finding with it. They find that those patients who haven't actually corrected their behavior patterns actually turn to other vices, such as alcohol or drugs or other things. So I'm not sure how that's going to solve any real problems for them.
I absolutely agree. The other story I wanted to get into is, this is an interesting one, that obesity contributes to global warming. This is a study. Actually, the story was put out by Reuters, and the study, let's see here, I think it was put on by WHO, the World Health Organization. And what they're commenting on is basically individuals that are obese and overweight require more fuel because when they get on an airplane, they pay the same price. And so you take a person who may be 120 to 150 pounds, and then you take an individual who may be 250 to 300 pounds, and they're basically saying that these individuals are paying the same price, but they're increasing fuel costs, and that that's actually having an impact on global warming, because not only do you have to transport a heavier weight, but as this problem continues to grow, fuel costs will continue to exceed. So I just thought that was quite an interesting story.
That is interesting. So we're really trying to make obesity out to be an excuse for a lot of different things, including global warming. Sorry.
Right.
So,
on the topic of obesity, you know, that's a great tie-in for cardiovascular disease, because one of the major risk factors for heart disease, obviously, is being overweight, not just being obese, but being overweight. Right. Let's get into just a few of the definitions that some of you out there may be aware of or maybe not aware of. And so just so you can kind of follow along, obesity is basically, it's defined as a body mass index of greater than 29.9, whereas being overweight is defined as a body mass index being over 25. So what does a body mass index mean? This is basically a ratio that's used, a height to weight ratio that's used to determine whether or not a person is overweight, which they use it a lot in studies to basically to calculate how many of the people are obese versus how many aren't. And there's one major flaw to using body mass index to calculate obesity, and that simply is, if a person is very well muscled, they're going to weigh more. And so you may have an individual who's, let's take a female who's 5'2", she's a very well-trained athlete, and so she's got more muscle tone than, say, somebody who's 5'2 and is very sedentary. Well, her body mass index may falsely, because it would be elevated, may falsely put her in an overweight category. And why is that a problem? Because that could affect her insurance rates. That can skew the statistics when we're talking about the quantity of people that are overweight or obese. So a better way to really look at that is through something called bioelectrical impedance analysis. We're actually measuring body fat percentage as opposed to just a height-weight ratio. You're actually measuring the quantitative value of fat versus muscle versus bone in an individual. So you have a much more accurate representation of what their internal health is like. But obesity is a major risk factor for cardiovascular disease. And I think one of the biggest problems, at least today in this country, is allowing people to be victimized over being obese. It's really, to me, it's not a disease so much as it is a state of a person's inadequacy to control certain measures that maybe they did or didn't get educated on, but I think ultimately we all have the self-responsibility or the individual responsibility to educate ourselves. And so we can't rely on the government. We can't, you know, blame anyone else, because everybody that I've ever spoken with, at least, and most people with a general sense of education, they've gone to grade school or you know, and gone through the school system, knows that drinking soda and eating candy and not exercising, generally speaking, are not healthy things. And so, you know, at some point we have to have self-responsibility. But obesity is a major contributing factor to cardiovascular disease. And so that being said, I want to get in tonight to talk about tonight some of the things that we look for and some of the tools that we use alternatively away from mainstream that are beneficial not only just for treating obesity, but for treating a deeper, in my opinion, a deeper, more grave underlying problem, which is cardiovascular disease. We lose a million people a year to that. So, Dr. Davis, I wanted you to just enlighten us. I know you use Berkeley Labs as a tool in evaluating patients' risk factors. Could you kind of go into some of the detail on that and give us some information?
Sure. I think part of what we've done in traditional medicine is we rely a lot on our cholesterol numbers to ensure us or secure us that our heart is healthy. And what we found is that the traditional testing is not as complete as what we actually need. So one of the ways to find out more about your true risk for heart disease is to do advanced lipid analysis. And there's several labs that do that. I've just chosen Berkeley Heart Labs. Have been using them for about 3.5 years. And I'm very happy with the way they not only give me back their information and the results, but the way they explain a lot of it to my patients. And they have a website that's very friendly for them to use and to monitor their progress. So one thing that's really interesting is that we find that people who have a very normal LDL or a normal HDL, and they feel like they have no risk for heart disease, but their father, grandfather, and great-grandfather died of heart disease, really are being fooled into thinking that they actually don't have a risk when they do, because there's so much more to each part of that cholesterol. One of the most important things is to fractionate out the LDL particle sizes. So our LDL is our bad cholesterol. Can remember that as L for lousy. And once we're able to fractionate that out into the several different kind of subclasses of LDL, we're able to differentiate if you have small LDL particle sizes, medium, or large. And contrary to what we think, it's the large ones that are actually going to protect us from heart disease, and the small ones that can easily clog the arteries and cause atherosclerosis and then plaquing. So just knowing even that much more information about your LDL can give you a much more educated risk stratification for developing heart disease in the future. And then we can go on to also fractionate out your HDL, which is your good cholesterol. Your HDL is your good, healthy cholesterol. And there are some people who have levels around 80, 90, 100, and we think, wow, they're very protective from actually having a heart attack or stroke. Well, we can actually now fractionate out your HDL into seven subparticle sizes, and now we can determine if the HDL is actually functioning and clearing the bad cholesterol out of the body, which is what its job is. So you see, just by knowing those two things, we may know a whole lot more about your risk for heart disease than just what your LDL number is and what your HDL number is. I think that we are actually just being fooled into believing that we have a normal cholesterol value when, in fact, we can have so many other risk factors that are still causing much higher risk for developing heart disease and stroke in the future. So the Berkeley profile also goes on to determine several other risk factors, including your homocysteine level. Your homocysteine level, that's been discussed a lot in the media as an amino acid, and when your levels are elevated, that can be one other risk factor for heart disease, and we can easily treat that with vitamin treatment. We can actually test your genetic typing. It's called genotyping, and determine if you are a person who will respond to diet or a person who will respond to medications or somebody who won't respond to either. They can actually tell us if you should eat moderate fat, or high fat based on that genetic typing. They can fractionate out even more so into other protein markers called apoprotein B and lipoprotein A. It gets very complicated as we go along. But once we're able to look at all these different risk factors, we can see if you are at low risk, high risk, or intermediate risk for developing heart disease. So that's just a basic overview of what an advanced lipid test can do. It can actually fractionate out these basic labs, tell us if you're higher risk for diabetes, tell us if you're higher risk to develop metabolic syndrome, and then how close you are to developing heart disease. We can also monitor your progress, which is the most important thing, once we're able to put you on a treatment regimen, which most of the time, thankfully, includes exercise, diet, things like fish oil, niacin treatments, vitamins, and we're able to specifically tell you exactly what you need based on what results we get back from these type of advanced lipid analysis. Is that a pretty basic overview there?
Fantastic. When we come back from the break, we're going to get more into some of the details. If you've got questions, feel free to call in. The number's 281-558-5738. 281-558-5738. We'll be right back.
Have you been put on medications by your doctor to treat symptoms of disease, but no one is doing anything to identify your problem? Have you been told that you need to see a psychiatrist because your symptoms don't fit the doctor's prescription pad? Don't be a victim of mainstream sick care. Dr. Osborne specializes in helping find the answers to unresolved health problems. The future of medicine can be found at Town Center Wellness. Dr. Osborne utilizes state-of-the-art technology through genetics, specialized laboratory testing, and more to help identify the causes of your symptoms and personalize a treatment plan for you. At Town Center Wellness, you're not just another patient, you are a person. Obtain excellent health through genetic accommodation. Call today for an appointment at 281-240-2229. That's 281-240-2229. Or visit us on the web at towncenterwellness.com. That's towncenterwellness.com.
Tired of being thick around the middle? Does your skin flap like a chicken when you wave goodbye? Are those saddlebags getting on your nerves? Well, Cool Lipo is here, and the results are amazing. As we grow older, our skin begins to show the signs of sun and lifestyle. The face and neck are exposed to the sun more than any other part of the body and tend to age more quickly. And we look for expensive creams and lotions to erase the signs of aging, and some people even consider surgery. At Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center, we can perform Cool Lipo, a non-surgical procedure, in our office. And there's no downtime, and it takes less time than a trip to the grocery store. Consider Cool Lipo to remove fatty tissue under the chin, neck, arms, abdomen, and even thighs. Call Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center today for more information at 281-362-0014. We'll have you back in swimsuit shape in no time at all. Call us at 281-362-0014 for your Cool Lipo consultation. 281-362-0014.
Check them out on the web at www.woodlandswellness.com.
Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Have you been put on medications to treat your symptoms because doctors have been unable to identify the cause of your depression and fatigue? Have you tried thyroid hormones without great success? Then call Town Center Wellness today. That phone number, 281-240-2229. Symptoms of hypothyroidism such as fatigue, depression, and mental sluggishness have all been linked to nutritional deficiencies. Now, if you have any of these deficiencies, medications might help initially, but they will be of little benefit in the long run. At Town Center Wellness, you will be seen by a doctor who is board certified in clinical nutrition and has the ability to detect your deficiencies and customize a nutritional prescription based on your unique needs. Quit guessing about your health and call Town Center Wellness today. 281-240-2229 and schedule your appointment. That's 281-240-2229. Town Center Wellness, 281-240-2229.
You take vitamins every day, but how can you be sure you're getting all the nutrients you need to stay healthy? Most of us try to stay fit, but how many of us know exactly how healthy we actually are? In fact, studies show that 50% of people who take vitamins have deficiencies that can suppress immune function and contribute to chronic illness. SpectraCell's patented blood test measures vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants in the body's cells to determine if you're getting all you need. For more information in the name of a clinician near you, go to www.spectracell.com or call 713-621-3101.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back. You're on with Dr. Osborne and Dr. Davis. This is Alternatives for Health and Wellness. We'd love to take your call. Questions about cardiovascular disease. And the number to reach us is 281-558-5738. So please feel free, if you've got questions, to give us a call. I'm going to start off this second block just by throwing a wrench in the cogs, if you will. There's a very intelligent gentleman who kind of coined this phrase, which is the growth of knowledge depends entirely on disagreement. I'm going to repeat that. The growth of knowledge depends entirely on disagreement. What does that really mean? Well, at one point, the earth was flat. Today, we know it to be round, but anybody who went around at that time before Christopher Columbus saying that the world was round was ostracized, made fun of, was ridiculed, and in many cases, killed. Fortunately, we live in a society today where we don't have to risk dying to have a disagreement with major thought. But on that same note, I just want to bring up some things about cholesterol, because cholesterol is oftentimes been, it's like Dr. Davis said before, when we look at cholesterol, most doctors will look at HDLs and LDLs and something called triglycerides and total cholesterol, and they'll deduce a lot of information about how much risk an individual has for heart disease based on just this small amount of data. And I'm just going to just point out a few facts for you and let you think about it. The people that have the shortest, the people that die soonest, we know this because it's been well studied, have the lowest cholesterol. Let me repeat that. People that die soonest, people with higher mortality rates, have lower cholesterol levels than people that don't. So what does that then say about the cholesterol hypothesis? Because that is indeed what it is. It's a hypothesis on heart disease. It's never fully been proven, and there are a lot of gaps in knowledge, and there are a lot of problems with the theory. Some other interesting facts that you should be aware of. When cholesterol is high, it's oftentimes a sign of infection. And studies have been done where they've actually measured an individual with an infection, taken that type of infection, put it in a test tube, and exposed it to different types of LDL particles or bad cholesterol, and found that those particles actually eradicated the infection. So that being said, is high LDL as bad a thing as maybe we consider it to be? Just some food for thought. Additionally, what you should know about cholesterol is that it's a precursor to all of your sex hormones. So estrogen and progesterone and testosterone all come from cholesterol. Cholesterol is a substance necessary to make or to form nerve synapses or nerve communication bridges between brain cells. Cholesterol is necessary for your body to be able to make vitamin D. We make it through sunlight exposure, but that's a cholesterol molecule that gets converted to vitamin D. So all those things being said, cholesterol can't be entirely bad. And so I just leave you with some of those things to think about. Take that information to your doctor. Ask those questions. See what kinds of answers that you bring back up. Because I think often, too many times, people are being placed on cholesterol-lowering medications without the true need for being on them. And I think that's a dangerous, quite a dangerous thing to do, because we know so much about cholesterol-lowering medications and their negative effects. For example, statin medications like Lipitor and Zocor and Crestor all inhibit coenzyme Q10 synthesis. Well, we know that by doing that, we actually increase a person's risk for congestive heart failure and for high blood pressure. CoQ10 deficiency also causes muscle weakness and muscle atrophy. CoQ10 deficiency is also a risk factor for Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. So I just kind of want to educate you. Don't get caught up in the chasing your tail trap of treating a symptom. And the symptom, really, it's not a disease. High cholesterol is not a disease. It's a symptom that something else is going on in the body that requires an individual to make more cholesterol. Because diet, cholesterol in the diet, has a very small role to play as far as overall cholesterol numbers are concerned. So think about these things and question your doctor. Question why that medication is necessary, because oftentimes it's not. And especially, I really encourage you, don't jump on a medication after just having one reading of high cholesterol, because if you got that reading at the wrong time, if you weren't fasting enough, if you'd eaten a meal that was too high in certain types of foods, or you know, the night before you tested, or simply if you had an infection or were ill or had an increased demand to make certain other hormones in the body, your cholesterol could be it could be elevated in a non-risk factor type of way. So make sure that the risk factor is truly there. So that being said, I want to get back to what Dr. Davis was talking about earlier. She was talking about some of the labs that she did, and I wanted her to go into some of more of the detail about the actual risks of some of these cholesterol molecules and smaller particles. Dr. Davis?
Sure. So what we know, or what we think, is that if we have these other risk factors with the subclasses of the LDL or the subclasses of the HDL, that it's causing the plaquing to occur at a more rapid rate, which then can actually increase the risk of developing the heart attack or the stroke much faster than someone who didn't have those particular risk factors. It also can tell us if you are much more likely to develop diabetes, which I think really what's the most important thing for people to understand about a test like this is that you do have to make lifestyle changes. These risk factors, I can talk to you about them until I'm blue, but until you're ready to make some changes in how you eat and how you exercise in taking those supplements on a regular basis, we will not change much. Like you said, the cholesterol in itself, we're not so sure if that in itself is going to be a high risk for developing heart disease all by itself. We know those other risk factors may be more important in determining what your risk for heart disease is. And even if you carry some of those risk factors, it doesn't mean you have it right then and there. So I have taken some people who we think have very low risk for heart disease and found that they are very high risk for heart disease. I sent them for some additional testing, and that way I can tell if they actually truly have plaquing to a degree which requires some type of intervention. I think it's really important to note that people who change their lifestyle make a huge response in what the risk factors I see, much more so than any particular medication. I think it really frustrates me when I see patients who come in who bring me their cholesterol, and their cholesterol was noted to be high, but the only reason it was high, and this was just on a basic panel, was because their good HDL was high, and they were told to go on Lipitor. So when I look at that and I tell them, why did they put you on that? And they said, well, it was high, but it was high for a good reason. So, you know, I think what's happening to us in traditional medicine is we're doing things so fast, we're not even taking into account why we're doing what we're doing. And the whole idea of statin drugs, the Lipitor, Crestor, that has come out has really taken over the world. We have so many 30, 40, and 50-year-olds on these cholesterol-lowering medications, and we don't really truly know what that when they turn 60, 70, 80, if that's truly going to lower their risk for heart disease. But by then, you know, all these companies, unfortunately, have made millions and millions of dollars. So that aside, it's very frustrating to find out exactly how we need to treat your cholesterol, what it means for you, how to change the diet. And that's what these particular risk factors can determine. If I know you have elevated homocysteine levels and I put you on your B vitamins and I lower your risk for heart disease just by that alone, that can decrease your risk for developing heart disease by threefold. So each one of these risk factors put all together can really help us determine what we are doing in the body in terms of inflammation. And that's really the key. If you have high amounts of inflammation, why do you have that and how can we correct that? So, again, it comes down to diet and exercise and lifestyle changes and eating those fruits and vegetables and eliminating those processed foods and eliminating those white products. And I think most people who are educated understand this, but it's just actually doing it that's the problem. We are living in a society where we go out to eat all the time, where we socialize all the time, where everything surrounds food, and so we become a slave to that. So we start to live our life like that and choose not to make those healthy options. Or we have several people who travel frequently, and they'll tell me, well, I just can't eat right if I travel. Well, you know, I think that's not true. I think they just have to make those choices. And so when I can actually show them these risk factors in black and white and they see it, then I can educate them on how to make those choices, and they'll do a much better job of trying at least to do that. And I think it's important to note that if you make lifestyle changes, that doesn't mean you're depriving yourself or that you're never going to eat something you particularly enjoy or love. But if you make those lifestyle changes and eat moderately at least 5 days a week or 6 days a week and you splurge 1 day of the week, that's going to be much healthier for you in the long run. So, again, it all comes down to fractionating out these particular particle sizes to helping us determine what kind of inflammation you have in the body so we can tell you whether you're going to respond to a diet. Do you need to change and add high-dose fish oil, low-dose fish oil? Do I need to add niacin? Do you just need to exercise? What are these certain things that we can do to make your risk for developing heart disease much lower? And I think a great deal of what I can do or recommend does not have anything to do with taking drugs, because I think we can make so many other changes before resorting to that.
I would agree. I commonly get patients with high cholesterol, and you know, it's very, 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 very rare that I would ever even consider sending somebody out to get prescription medication to lower it, just because of so many of the different lifestyle variations and so many of the other things that we can do to bring in and control risk factors for the disease. So we can be preventative without lowering cholesterol, and I think we can bring about just as good of a benefit long-term for these individuals.
I think it's pretty funny that drug companies have actually made patents on niacin and on fish oil. You know, they've just taken that out of, because they feel like they've regulated by the FDA. Well, I think we've done that long before the FDA regulated those particular medications. We have great quality fish oils and great quality niacin, and so we don't need those particular drug companies, but I guess they had to do something because they saw so many people resorting to these particular supplements.
Well, and then the other issue with that is a lot of these prescription products that you can get have artificial colorings and dyes and other chemicals that are added to it that are not necessarily so healthy for you. So
Right. I've actually seen better results on our flush-free niacin that we have from our vitamin company than I did from what I had on the drug company that we were using. So I actually stopped using that. I did recommend it for a while just because I thought we actually, you know, for some people, the prescription cost was a little lower. So we tried that for a while. But once I repeated their analysis, I found that it was actually doing more harm than good. So I think our vitamins are very safe, very good, as long as we're getting them from a good quality company.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. If you've got questions and want to call in about cardiovascular disease, the number to do that is 281-558-5738, and we'll be right back.
Warning, if you've been diagnosed with high blood pressure or high cholesterol and are currently taking medications to offset these conditions, then you need to be aware of the nutritional side effects that they can have. Commonly prescribed cholesterol and blood pressure medications may lead to deficiencies in vitamins and minerals that are needed by your body to protect the function of your cardiovascular system. A deficiency in some of these nutrients may actually cause heart disease. The doctors at Town Center Wellness specialize in identifying nutritional deficiencies with state-of-the-art laboratory testing, not available in most doctors' offices. Protect your health today by calling Town Center Wellness at 281-240-2229. Town Center Wellness, 281-240-2229. Once again, Town Center Wellness, 281-240-2229.
Do you often tell your doctor that you're tired all the time, out of energy, have no interest in sex, and seem to have PMS all the time? The doctor probably ran your blood work and told you that everything came back normal. At the Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center, we specialize in hormone imbalances. We don't only rely on the blood work to diagnose your symptoms, and we don't treat the individual symptoms by giving you a prescription for each one. We look for the root of your symptoms and get to the underlying problems that are causing your symptoms. Dr. Sakina Davis can help you obtain health and wellness naturally. Call the Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center today at 281-362-0014 and let us put you back in balance. Call today at 281-362-0014. Call the Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center today. Check them out on the web at www.woodlandswellness.com. Have you been put on medications by your doctor to treat symptoms of disease, but no one is doing anything to identify your problem? Have you been told that you need to see a psychiatrist because your symptoms don't fit the doctor's prescription pad? Don't be a victim of mainstream sick care. Dr. Osborne specializes in helping find the answers to unresolved health problems. The future of medicine can be found at Town Center Wellness. Dr. Osborne utilizes state-of-the-art technology through genetics, specialized laboratory testing, and more to help identify the causes of your symptoms and personalize a treatment plan for you. At Town Center Wellness, you're not just another patient, you are a person. Obtain excellent health through genetic accommodation. Call today for an appointment at 281-240-2229. That's 281-240-2229. Or visit us on the web at towncenterwellness.com. That's towncenterwellness.com.
You take vitamins every day, but how can you be sure you're getting all the nutrients you need to stay healthy? Most of us try to stay fit, but how many of us know exactly how healthy we actually are? In fact, studies show that 50% of people who take vitamins have deficiencies that can suppress immune function and contribute to chronic illness. SpectraCell's patented blood test measures vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants in the body's cells to determine if you're getting all you need. For more information and the name of a clinician near you, go to www.spectracell.com or call 713-621-3101.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Osborne and Dr. Davis. You're on The Voice, KSEV, with Alternatives for Health and Wellness. And tonight we're talking about cardiovascular disease. And I wanted to point a couple of things out to you that we were talking, or actually a couple of new things. There was a study done, and it was from 1998 to 2000. And it was a USA Today reporter that published these findings. But interestingly enough, and I mention this because of the cholesterol, kind of what we were talking about earlier about cholesterol being overly prescribed or people jumping the gun on the whole cholesterol issue. Well, from 1998 to 2000, the FDA holds these committee meetings to advise, to get advice from doctors on which drugs should be passed, what numbers are important, etc. And so I'm going to give you just some statistics from what this particular reporter found. At 92% of the meetings, at least one member had a financial conflict of interest. At 55% of the meetings, half or more of the FDA advisors had conflicts of interest. And realize that conflicts of interest means that the doctors that are advising the government on what to do with these medications either own stock directly in these medications or directly on the payroll for the companies that produce these medications, or have grants that are given to them to study these medications. So that's what conflict of interest is defined as based on the FDA rules. There were 102 meetings during this time that dealt with the fate of different types of medications. And out of those 102 meetings, a third of the experts had a financial conflict. So just go back to what we were talking about before at the beginning of the last break, or at the end of the last break, which was, you know, cholesterol is a theory, and a lot of this that we're being exposed to or that we're being bombarded with is theoretical information. And there's a lot of conflict. There's a lot of financial interest tied up in this. And I'm not accusing and I'm not saying that anybody's directly, you know, out to get you and to make you spend money on medication. I'm just asking you to think, to be an individual, to think for yourselves and ask the right questions. So when we left, we were discussing lipid risk factors. We were discussing some of the labs and some of the environmental risk factors and some of the things that we can do to help to reduce the risk of heart disease. I want to make mention about one of the labs that I commonly use. It's a lab called a lipoprotein particle profile, or LPP for short, and it's put out by a company called SpectraCell Labs, and it measures a lot of the similar things that the test that Dr. Davis was mentioning, the Berkeley test, measures a lot of similar things. There are some variations and some differences between the two tests, but they're very similar. So if your doctor hasn't heard of Berkeley, ask him about the SpectraCell LPP. Either way, you're going to get a more diagnostic test that can be used to really and truly discern the real risk of what's going on, because inflammation plays a greater role, and that can be measured. Homocysteine plays a greater role than cholesterol, and that can be measured. And these things are very easy to treat and very easy to make lifestyle accommodations for. So I want to encourage you, you know, just to ask those questions. If you're being prescribed these medications, ask the question. I want to get into a little bit as well on high blood pressure, because high blood pressure is another major risk factor for cardiovascular disease. And a lot of people that go in that have high blood pressure are almost instantaneously prescribed a medication to lower blood pressure. And a lot of these medications are diuretics. Basically, they make you go to the bathroom more frequently. And so One of the interesting things is that when a person is inflamed, they retain more water. When they retain more water, their blood pressure increases. And so this is why using a diuretic, which reduces the water, lowers the blood pressure. Problem here is that if that person is inflamed and the reason they were swollen was because of the inflammation, then taking that diuretic doesn't solve the problem of the inflammation. And as a matter of fact, taking the diuretic, depending on which one you're taking, can cause a depletion in nutrients like calcium and magnesium and zinc and CoQ10 and all the B vitamins. So you could actually be
inducing a nutritional deficiency that has the same or as great of a risk for heart disease as having the high blood pressure. For example, we know that calcium and magnesium deficiency cause high blood pressure. We know that diuretics to treat high blood pressure cause calcium and magnesium deficiency. So, very important to understand those facts. And if you don't, if your doctor doesn't, you know, get online, do some research, call in with your question. We just want to encourage you to get educated. We've got a call on line one, a question for Dr. Davis, and I want to let Dr. Davis take it. Don?
Yes, I was curious what Dr. Davis thought about primary prevention in patients using the statin drugs.
What I think about primary prevention is that our studies indicate that we may actually reduce the risk of developing that first heart attack, but unfortunately, I think a lot of those studies are skewed, and what I don't think we take into account is how important it is to educate these patients about diet and about exercise and about the importance of other things they can modify in their lifestyle regimen to reduce the same risk as those primary prevention studies have shown with the statin drugs. So my opinion is that we can do better.
And if a person is, I guess they haven't had a heart attack or a stroke, so they're primary prevention, but they happen to get a carotid ultrasound and they've got plaque in their carotid artery, do you treat them the same as a person who is primary prevention and you don't know that they have plaque in their artery?
No, I think I would definitely be more aggressive with the patient who I know has underlying disease, because now I've missed my area where I could actually have done something to prevent that from occurring. So once we actually already have a disease state present, my treatment changes. But when I know that you don't have that already, we can do a lot with lifestyle management first.
Great. What do you do? I think you mentioned homocysteine earlier.
Right.
And I had read where the homocysteine levels are a marker but not a cause of vascular disease, and lowering them doesn't make any difference. So do you still treat those? Treat that with the B vitamins, or do you just leave it alone?
No, I still treat that with the B vitamins. I don't know where you read that it doesn't work for that, but there's a lot of good data out there that lowering the homocysteine levels improves that one area of the risk for developing heart disease. And so the B vitamins are very important. I have seen, as I've been following these Berkeley analyses, a great improvement once I've had my patients compliant with taking their B vitamins.
Okay. And do you ever do particle counts to see how many LDL particles and HDL particles that a person has?
Yes, that's what I do with the Berkeley analysis that I use.
Okay. And how do they do their particle counts?
What do you mean, how do they do that?
What methodology do they use?
What methodology do they use?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how Berkeley actually does that, but I don't know the actual methodology behind it, but I know that they are able to fractionate out the LDL into the different particle sizes that are small, medium, or large, and they're able to do that with the HDL into different concentrations of the different five or seven different kind of HDL particles as well.
Right, but can they actually do particle numbers, not just the fractions based on
size? They can do particle
size.
Numbers using the apoprotein B test that they use and the lipoprotein A analysis that they use.
Okay.
That's how they can actually measure the number.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Don, for your call, and call back anytime. Okay, back to cardiovascular disease. Just basically, we were talking about high blood pressure before the call came in, and so just some things to be aware about with high blood pressure. What are some of the things then alternatively that we can do to modify risk factors for cardiovascular disease? Well, let's look at the major risk factors. You've got high cholesterol, you've got high blood pressure, you've got a sedentary lifestyle, which a person may have, obesity or be overweight, which is a risk factor. Of course, smoking is a risk factor. Alcohol intake being overly excessive is a risk factor. You've also got just a general risk factor of being a male or a female. Typically, men have a higher risk factor for cardiovascular disease. Age is a risk factor. You can't control age. You can't control gender. So talking about some of the things that you can control, how then do we look at controlling
blood pressure through lifestyle intervention or through modification. One of the best known effects for lowering of blood pressure, of course, is exercise. And not only does it help with lowering of blood pressure, but it helps keep cholesterol under control, and it also helps keep blood sugar under control. Because another major risk factor for cardiovascular disease is an elevation in blood sugar levels or diabetes. And so you've got an individual who could have diabetes, they could have high cholesterol, they could have high blood pressure, they could have all three, and that makes their risk so much greater overall at developing or having an event, a myocardial infarction or stroke or some other form of cardiovascular event, pulmonary infarction, that could be fatal. And so in the management of these individuals, we want to do as much as we can in their lifestyle to make these changes, because some of the biggest changes are occurring through lifestyle. As a matter of fact, it was a study done a few years ago where they actually attempted to quantify genetic risk versus lifestyle risk. In other words, how much of cardiovascular disease was induced by your genes versus how much was induced by your lifestyle. And so, of course, you can't control your genetics, but you certainly have the choice to control what you do in your lifestyle to a certain degree. And their quantitation of this was basically that 60% played a role, or 60% of your risk was environmentally dependent. In other words, the changes that you could do, the things that you could do, were modifiable at a level of 60%. And they went on to speculate that there were some flaws in the study, that maybe even 70% would look like a more realistic number. So then that leaves 40%, 30 to 40% for the genetic factor. So we can't rule genetics out altogether as a factor for cardiovascular disease. However, we can measure certain genes, and measuring and being able to identify certain genes then allows us to more specifically modify the lifestyle to accommodate these genes. And this is basically what we call genetic accommodation. If you've got the genes that don't allow you to metabolize certain B vitamins very well, if you've got the gene that doesn't allow you to get rid of homocysteine as well, if you've got the genes on your vitamin D receptors, the abnormalities that don't allow you to modulate blood pressure as well, then these are all just additional factors that we need to consider. So as an example, if you've got vitamin D receptor abnormalities, and this is a gene that we can actually test for, then you need to get more vitamin D. And of course, there's two major ways to get vitamin D, either through diet or through sunshine. And so if you're a very pale-skinned person and you have a strong family history of cancer, skin cancer, and you're scared of the sun and scared of getting out in the sun because of that risk, well, then you should be checking your vitamin D levels periodically and maintaining some degree of supplemental vitamin D or dietary vitamin D that would reduce your genetic risk for the development of that particular disease. And this is really, this type of testing is much more advanced than anything that's really been done to this point. And so I encourage you to ask your doctor about genetic testing for cardiovascular risk factors. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up tonight's show. But if you've got a question, feel free to call in. The number's 281-558-5738. We'll be right back.
Do you want to obtain optimal health and wellness naturally? At Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center, we can help you achieve optimal health with our six-point wellness program that will have you feeling great. Dr. Sakina Davis is board certified in family practice and has helped thousands of men, women, and children prevent disease. Now, if you're tired of taking multiple prescription drugs each day, or you're just feeling bad, call the Woodlands Wellness Cosmetic Center for a consultation. The number is 281-362-0014. Our comprehensive program enables patients to boost their immune systems, increase their energy levels, and enjoy a better quality of life. Dr. Sakina Davis is eager to share her philosophy, as she believes men and women in their midlife and beyond are entitled to look and feel their best. Call today to schedule your appointment at 281-362-0014. Again, 281-362-0014. The Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center.
Check them out on the web at www.woodlandswellness.com.
Does your child do poorly in school due to poor focus and lack of attention? Are you being pressured by teachers and doctors to put your child on medication to treat ADD or ADHD, but are nervous about the potential side effects of the medications such as poor appetite and delayed growth? In today's fast-paced society, most children's diets are inadequate and provide large quantities of refined sugars with minimal vitamins and minerals. Nutritional deficiencies are very common in children diagnosed with ADD and ADHD and have been shown to have a strong relationship with such abnormal behavior. A safe and natural alternative exists. To find out more on how you can help your child without the side effects of medications, call Town Center Wellness today at 281-240-2229. Town Center Wellness, 281-240-2229.
You take vitamins every day, but how can you be sure you're getting all the nutrients you need to stay healthy? Most of us try to stay fit, but how many of us know exactly how healthy we actually are? In fact, studies show that 50% of people who take vitamins have deficiencies that can suppress immune function and contribute to chronic illness. SpectraCell's patented blood test measures vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants in the body's cells to determine if you're getting all you need. For more information in the name of a clinician near you, go to www.spectracell.com or call 713-621-3101.
Buddy, this is Dr. Osborne and Dr. Davis. You're on with Alternatives for Health and Wellness. If you've got questions or would like to call in, 281-558-5738, we encourage you to do so. I'm going to go to line one. We've got a caller on the line, Larry in Houston. What can we do for you?
Yes. Last year I had a Berkeley lab test done, and I don't remember the test covering homocysteine levels. Is that something I should go back and have completed?
Yes. The Berkeley panel can be, we can actually do whatever testing we want, so we can pick the test that we want to do in our individual offices. So I'm not sure if that office did not test for homocysteine, but that is something Berkeley offers, and so you can ask your physician, whoever ran your Berkeley, to add that on to your next one.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And thanks for calling in, Larry. We appreciate you listening. So we went to the break last time. We were talking about just lifestyle modification and genetic testing, some additional things that you can do that are not commonly done mainstream but have just as much scientific validity behind them as far as reducing overall risk, because ultimately the name of the game, if we can stop the disease from occurring through risk reduction and management, then we don't have to worry about what the disease is contributing to or causing, because we never get it. And ultimately, that's the best way. There's an ounce of prevention, or what is the saying? It's an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And so it's a lot easier to, once again, be preventative minded and to know your body's biochemistry and to know a little bit about your genetics so that you can make the best decisions based on you, not just based on broad spectrum recommendations that may or may not be working for you. Because realize most of these broad spectrum recommendations are just that. They're saying, generally speaking, if everybody does X, Y, and Z, then they'll be better off. But that's just not the case. An example of that would be the Atkins diet versus, let's just say, a standard American diet. There are some individuals that, genetically speaking, do not tolerate foods that are very rich in carbohydrates, the grains and pastas and cereals and some of these other things that are higher in carbohydrates. And so when they actually eat them, they gain weight, they have fatigue, they can develop autoimmune disease, they have so many other different types of problems that can develop just by eating that type of food. And so that being said, you know, there's a speculation in some of the newer science that there's a 33% of the population generally has that particular food preference to stay, or that should stay away from carbohydrates, that should stay away from the heavy carbohydrates anyway. And that's why the Atkins diet and the South Beach diet and some of these other, the Zone diets, have been so successful in allowing people to lose weight and reduce their risk factors for cardiovascular disease and to feel better and to have more energy. So once again, you can't just rely on a broad spectrum recommendation, because we're all unique. We're all individuals. And that's really what it boils down to. As a unique individual, what is it that you need to do? What is it that you and your doctor need to talk about to come to a conclusion that's best for you? Not what is the standard where everybody's getting the same thing or everybody's getting generally the same thing to treat the same type of deal. We want to know more about you. We want to know specifically genetically, biochemically, your lifestyles, your other risk factors, and we want to be able to modify those accordingly so that we can get overall better outcomes, not only in the treatment of your disease if you have cardiovascular disease, but in the prevention if you don't and you're just seeking out a way to be more healthy. So keep those things in mind and realize that your health decisions are always based on what you and your doctor decide and what you and your doctor talk about. So if you learned something here tonight and you didn't get enough information, feel free to visit mine or Dr. Davis's websites. It's towncenterwellness.com and woodlandswellness.com. And we encourage you to go there. There's a lot of learning material there that you can read. And feel free to call in next week. And we'll see you then. Have a great evening. And thanks for listening.
Radioactive. AM 700 KSEV Tomball, Houston, the voice.
AP Radio News. I'm Ross Simpson. On the eve of a primary in Kentucky, Hillary Clinton is talking like